The scripture reading today is from the 5th chapter of Mark, verses 21 to 34. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large group gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him. "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman who was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you to Heidi and Rita, our instrumentalists, who always do a beautiful job playing. Always appreciate their gifts, their ministry. We'd also like to point out, Marcia made a great point in her prayer. You don't have to wear a bathing suit tonight if you like to come. They're good for something. Thank you. But Marcia, I wasn't saying that. I'm not going to say that. But you're welcome to come in if you just like to hang out by the pool in your poolside attire. Love to have you here. Thank you for pointing that out, Marcia. Well, recently I heard someone say that churches should always have at least two places for people to land when they come to your church. Two different kinds of places. First place should help them discern the call. How are you gifted? What are your passions, your interests? Tell me about your experiences and how they've led you to where you are today. And how is God utilizing all those things to direct you in the path right now in your life? And that's our call. The second place should be a place where people can come, or people in your church who are there. The second place should be a place where people can heal. Because life hurts. Life hurts. We've wounded. We have lost people we loved. We've had people that we have loved and they have left us. We experienced major transitions in life. We didn't know these transitions were going to be this hard, right? As someone who's not the empty nester, right? Like we've got a transition coming up in our household. And so these transitions in life that occur, and we didn't know how challenging those transitions were going to be. And so there are just times in our lives where we're brokenhearted, betrayed, depressed, anxious, possibly deeply ambivalent, maybe withdrawn from relationships and people in life. And we tend to need help healing. We need help because we're just a little lost in the emotion of it all. It's just this new, raw, hard emotion we're not sure what to do with it. And what's wonderful about Jesus just seemed to have an awareness of all these things, that these things were all going on around him. That's why we call Jesus, we refer to him as the great physician and the great counselor. The great physician, the great counselor, because Jesus was committed to holistic health care. Holistic health care in people's lives. We don't often talk about it that way. We don't use the phrase holistic health care. That's kind of what he was all about. He healed people of their physical ailments. They had these physical things that happened. He had this supernatural gift that allowed him to heal those people who he ran into that were blind or deaf or lame. They were inflicted with some other type of illness, and he was able to heal that physical illness. But then he also healed people of their emotional hurts, the stuff on the inside. He spoke to the brokenness of people's lives in a way that generally at first made them feel very uncomfortable. The precision of his knowledge about people. And so they saw that he had this prophetic gift, and it felt a little bit like he had this mind reading gift at different times, which would freak any of us out. If somebody kind of knew things about us they shouldn't know. But Jesus, right? Jesus, he's gracious and he's kind with his prophetic gift. And he utilizes it to free people up from all the emotional strongholds that would rule over them and oppress their hearts and their lives. So Jesus, he healed physically, he healed emotionally, and of course we know that Jesus healed people spiritually. His death and resurrection provide us a spiritual healing from death and sin, from the effects of death and sin. He is the key to abundant life, to eternal life, and he alone is able to break the hold of sin and death in our lives and the effects that it has. And so Jesus was in essence, maybe we don't, or once again, we're not used to this phrase, Jesus was this holistic healer, healing people physically, emotionally, and spiritually in all ways. And so in our passage this morning, we see Jesus' healing mission in action. We see it unfolding. A Jewish leader has fallen at the feet of Jesus, and he begs Jesus, please heal my daughter. Nobody can heal my daughter. Please come and heal my daughter. And on his way to Jairus' home, that's the name of the religious leader, on his name, a woman who had hemorrhaged blood for 12 years just grabs his cloak, and she knew if she could just touch his cloak that she would be healed. And it worked. She successfully fought her way through the crowd. She grabbed the cloak, and the power of God moved through Jesus and into the woman, and she was healed. Like in that moment, her bleeding stopped. But Jesus felt the transaction take place. Right? So he stops and he asks, who is it that touched me? Who is it that touched me and received my healing power? You see, within that story lies an incredibly important truth for the church that we have to hold on to, that we have to remember. Verse 30, once again, writer said it like this, that once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, Jesus possessed power to heal. He had authority. His Father gave him authority to heal. And Jesus passed his power and his authority to his disciples and to his church. Passed it along to us. John, the Gospel of John, he writes in chapter 14, verse 12, he says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me, and this is Jesus speaking, will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. The church is the representation of Christ to the world. No pressure. And that's why we're appropriately named the body of Christ. Paul says you are the body of Christ. You're the body. And there's power in the body for God's healing mission that he desires to continue for the world. Ladies, I'm going to grab this mic.
Check. Can you hear me? Bring me up just a little bit. Very good. Okay. I'm back. are just some things $20,000 sound system makes doesn't fix. The church, we're the representation of Christ for the world, is what we are. That's why we're in the body of Christ, right? And so we have this healing mission. And his healing is for his people. His healing is for his people. We're first the recipients of the ministry of the great physician and the great counselor. We've come to the table first. And then Christ empowers his disciples to be active in their communities in the healing ministry that is larger than the church. And he's equipped us with the power of God at our disposal to do that thing, that task. And so what I want to do today is I want to tell you about a couple of ways that the healing power of God is at work within our church, that I see him active within our church. The healing ministry of our church is both for you and of you. And so you will likely never be beyond the need for the ministry of the church in your life. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. You shouldn't be ashamed of that. I think it actually works that way by design. We are always in need of the ministry that we receive from one another. And also know that the depth of the healing ministry that we can offer to our church and to our community, the depth of that is up to you. It's up to you. We can only provide what you are willing to offer as a congregation. And so the first way we experience the healing power of Christ through the body of Christ, I believe, is in worship. Like what we're doing here now, right? In worship. This is the most common way people regularly experience healing through God, is where you're sitting today. I would call worship touching the cloak of Christ. We're all in here trying to touch the cloak of Christ every Sunday morning. It is the place where we are converting faith into power through the worship of God. Just like she was trying to do, trying to convert something here over, right? And so worship service, there's a lot of different ways how this happens, but worship service is where people experience the hospitality of the body of Christ. There's hospitality here. Our greeters are at the doors, and they're offering worship hospitality as you come in and you get your bulletin, right? We have this fellowship hospitality that we provide one another as we're coming into the building. We talk to folks who have always been here, folks that are new to here. We have this fellowship time at the very beginning, right? Where I have to limit you, or I don't get you back. Right? Okay, that's good. Y'all did a great job welcoming one another. But that's a part of worship hospitality in the body of Christ. We have our church board, right? Our accountable leadership board. They meet once a month. Board members will bring a short leadership teaching, and they will bring a Bible lesson, a faith lesson. And it's about 40 minutes of our meeting this learning time for our leaders. Leadership and spiritual leadership. Last Monday, or last week, Dan Schott, he did the leadership teaching. Came about the leadership teaching. He shared an interesting psychological fact I'd never heard of before. But as soon as I thought about it, I'm like, yes, I've done that. I can actually think about different relationships where I've done this and different organizations. So most of us, right? Most of us, when we walk into a new environment like a church or a business or whatever it is, we generally form an opinion about that place in the first 5 minutes. In the first 5 minutes, you kind of walk in, right? And so once that opinion is formed, we generally frame the rest of that experience based on those first 5 minutes. Right? So if people walk into our church and they feel like someone was maybe rude to them in the parking lot, or kind of rude as they entered. If people just feel indifferent, like they just don't see you, I've heard that happen before, they just don't feel seen, then the rest of the worship experience will be tainted by that initial experience of just simply walking into the church. So, of course, the opposite is true as well. Good hospitality
as people are walking it in, can create this better worship experience. Greeters, you can improve my sermon. Here I thought it was all my fault. Turns out, you know, I've got help. But it's because feeling welcomed, being seen and acknowledged by others, being wanted, those things have a healing effect on us as people. That's healing. Because sometimes in life, we didn't feel welcome. And we didn't feel seen or wanted. And those moments hurt. They hurt. I received a lot of feedback from those of you that were in worship a couple weeks ago. Eric Adams and I, we work together. He's normally up in the AV area. He's gone for the next couple of weeks. He does video stuff. And so he helped me create a video that had four people from our church kind of sharing about their experiences at First United Methodist Church. And it was about our values, right? It was about our values. And so the video is still available online. If you go to our website and use the app, you know, then you can find it there under values video. One of the stories that was told was from Marlene Donald. And Marlene and John are watching online today because John has COVID. So we thank you for watching today. Marlene told her story about receiving the sacrament for the first time, receiving communion in the United Methodist Church. And she had been excluded from communion in a different denomination, one that she had grown up in, one that's a little more kind of stringent on who can receive, when you can receive, and why you can receive. And it was a very painful experience for her. And it was interesting, even this morning, I heard from others of you that had a similar experience where you were told you can't receive it. It hurt a little bit when it occurred. But then later, like in Marlene's case, she was able to come to a Methodist church. She was included in communion. And that experience of being included in communion had a healing effect on her. Right? And that's just our theology. We're a little bit different like that in the Methodist church. We want everyone to be able to come to the table to receive. And today, if you notice, if you saw it 2 weeks ago, I love it. Marlene can't share the story without tears welling up in her eyes. Those are the tears of a healing work in her life through the power of worship. Because worship is a place where healing occurs within the body of Christ. Another place where healing occurs is when you engage in the community of a church. You're engaging the community. If worship is where you touch the robe of Christ, then community is where you encounter the personhood of Christ. Right? You get to sit with him. It's where relationships are formed. It's where words of healing and encouragement from the body of Christ are received. It's where intimacy happens and you're called by your name. Your name is known. You see, it wasn't enough to Jesus that the woman would touch his robe and receive healing and then just kind of remain anonymous. Right? Just go on about her day. He's like, oh yeah, I felt something, but you know, that's good, so I got healed. Like, that wasn't enough. Jesus wanted to know about who this person of great faith and great belief was. Who is this woman? The fact that the Gospel of Mark contains more about her background indicates Jesus and his disciples had more conversation with her and sat down to get to know her, talked to her. They found out about her story and about her struggles and likely being isolated from community, as oftentimes hemorrhaging people were. If you had a blood disease in those days, you were oftentimes isolated by your own community. And more important than all those things, what I love is when Jesus says goodbye to her, Jesus calls her daughter. Daughter. He places her within his family, and he speaks affectionately to her, and he refers to her as daughter. And so to be present in worship, to receive hospitality and sacrament and word, it is to brush up against the healing power of God. To participate in a church community, it's Sunday school classes, it's small groups, it's Bible studies, it's ministries, it's outreach. That is to know a deeper level of healing that only comes through favorite conversations. It is the ministry of the church that we both provide and that we receive through our presence. Just showing up. And sometimes it's a Sunday school topic that's just, it just kind of gets to the heart of something going on in our lives. Sometimes it's a ministry focus where there's a ministry occurring. We see people, oftentimes people are ministered to, the things come out, right? That's a love that they're receiving, that they've always desired. Or some type of recovery group, a recovery group in the church that targets this deeper area of emotional healing that we all need, this leading to a pattern or problem in our lives. And at other times, it's just a conversation. We were just having this conversation, this Christian group that had gathered, and started out casual, and it got more personal in the blink of an eye. And something was said, and somebody heard it, and we talked more about it. Last year, I joined a non-denominational pastors network named Next Level Relational Network. Next Level Relational Network. It's a network that includes pastor spouses. I think that's invaluable. You know, not everything does that. So a great place for my wife to be able to go and to connect as well. And I meet online with my group once a month, a handful of pastors who are in churches. Some are denominational, some aren't. Basically, Missouri to the East Coast, right? Just kind of pushes all the way over. One of the resources that this network is now offering to churches, to pastors, is a curriculum called Freedom Groups. Freedom Groups. A Freedom Group is a small group experience meant to help Christians get free of hurts and strongholds that are still in their lives. Because just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that those things aren't still there. And creating conflict and issues in your life. Places where we still need to heal. In order to experience next level growth in our faith and our maturity as Christians. And so before I can offer a freedom group here at First United Methodist Church, I have to be a participant. I have to go through it myself. So in September, I'll connect online with another group of pastors in my freedom group. And I expect to uncover some things and some areas of my life that maybe I haven't completely dealt with. Some things that still hurt today. And so I expect to have to talk about some of those hurts, some of those issues with that group, have some vulnerability there to give those things to them, to give those things to God. Because that's life. That's life for all of us. There's just this stuff that we just try to not deal with. And we just try to go on. And we don't recognize how much those things still kind of affect us today. And it comes out. You know, I had a friend who used to say, you don't talk out, you act out. Right? But you don't talk out, you act out. And so it comes out in our emotional health, our mental health. And sometimes it comes in our physical health, right? You have anxiety for a long time, and it can increase your blood pressure. And so it comes out in our physical health. It comes out in our relational issues. And we have a pattern of broken relationships around us. And we're just like, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with all these people? And yet, you're the thing that's in the middle of the hub as all the brokenness continues to occur. Right? So the things that we should be talking about in our Sunday school classes, in our Bible studies, in our men's groups, in our women's groups, and ministries, should hopefully provide all of us this opportunity to heal from life. To not only touch the robe of Jesus, but to hear him call out our name and speak with us personally, intimately. You know, it's another place where we're well trained here to help people heal in that emotional sense is through our Stevens Ministry Program. And we have church members who have gone through a specialized training to help people heal from life's hurts. They are not professional counselors. But they have been well trained. They've had to go through a training program in order to learn how to be a good listener and to ask helpful questions. And how does God talk through these things? And it's another way that the First United Methodist Church body of Christ is committed to the healing process for our church and as well for our community. It's open to your friends and your neighbors that might need it. Church, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm guessing you have. Healthcare is expensive, right? Healthcare is expensive. I actually wrote part of the sermon from hospital waiting rooms this week, just kind of waiting for some routine healthcare that I get to receive because you know, proactive healthcare opportunities. I've got an ideal where it's a little fuzzy. It makes reading this kind of fun this morning, since half of it looks like hieroglyphics. But healthcare is expensive. It's really a great privilege for us to live in a day and an age and to live in this location, this part of the earth, where we often receive just routine healthcare. And I'll admit to you that sometimes the hard work that we do in our jobs kind of creates those opportunities for that type of healthcare. But healthcare is still a privilege based upon some fortunate personal circumstances of what family you grew up in and where you grew up. And emotional and mental healthcare can be expensive too, right? You want to benefit from good counseling? You want to benefit from a psychologist? That's money. You know, I think one of the reasons, and I'm pretty sure, it's one of the reasons Jesus was so popular in his day was because he provided these things free of charge, right? He offered them all free of charge. It wasn't uncommon for faith healers, right? Like Jesus wasn't the only one. He was a faith, I don't know if you thought about that. He was a faith healer. And there were many people in those days who claimed the title faith healer, and they were oftentimes paid for the service that they provided. They wanted payment before offering their services. And we don't have any record of Jesus charging people for his healing, preaching, counseling, mentoring. But what we do know is that he had wealthy benefactors, wealthy supporters that provided for his ministry. And we know this because Judas Iscariot was his disciple in charge of finances. But we know how it went for Judas, right? Like, you know the story, it didn't go well. It's a lesson for another day. But, you know, he was funded. Today, this day and age, the church is not a hospital with professional health care workers. We don't have those on staff. Nor are we a counseling clinic with professional counselors. We have those institutions, businesses in our community. And yet, we are committed to the health of our church and our community. Jesus taught us that healing is a holistic process, body, mind, and spirit. And if that weren't true today, then hospitals wouldn't have professionally trained chaplains. Right? Hospitals have chaplains. Even hospitals recognize the power of prayer, spiritual support, in person, to physically heal people. Hospitals are aware of that. And so the body of Christ, in service to Christ, is committed to healing of its own membership and its own community. And so many good, positive,
and helpful ways, right? And some of that healing, it happens naturally through the power of God. It happens naturally. People will always find their way to worship with this desperate desire to touch the cloak of Christ. Just to touch his cloak. Because Christ our Lord calls people to himself for this very reason. And this morning, that's happening all over the world. It's happening. And it's our Father's work, and he will complete that work here in our church, churches all across Lebanon, churches all across the world. Right? And so the question that I want to end with today, the question for you is, what is your commitment to the healing work of Christ in your life and in your church? What is your commitment to those, both of those things? Are there things in your life still today that are really a secret to most people but you? Do these secret struggles continue to cause you pain, or pain to people who love you or who try to love you but you distance yourself from? Do you have a pattern of what we call in the church sinful behavior? The sinful behavior that just kind of continues to happen in your life over and over and over, like a wheel just going around and around. Or a pattern of anger, or a pattern of broken relationships in your life. Are you ready to give those things over to God in community yet? Are you ready to confess and to forgive, or to seek forgiveness, to receive help, to get better? Do you want to get better? Do you really want that? Sometimes that hurt story becomes so much a part of who we are. We can't imagine releasing that and getting through that and over it. Do you understand that God often prepares future healers to go on their own journey of healing within themselves before they can join Him in His healing ministry to the world? And I hope in this sanctuary today, God is calling healers to join Him in His work here at First United Methodist Church, and for those watching online, right? For wherever your church home is. I hope this morning that God is raising up future Stevens ministers and Sunday school teachers and small group leaders and ministry leaders and maybe recovery group leaders, because we need more recovery groups in our churches for people. People who will train up, pray up, and rise up to follow Christ and support the body of Christ. Because life is hard. And so how will you commit yourself to your own need for healing this week? Who will you call? What conversation will you have? What step will you take? And how will you help someone else on their journey for healing this week? How can you listen? How can you ask the question? How can you provide them support during this time? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. And we thank You. Your holistic ministry of healing, it was all things. It was all things. And God, we are thankful to live in a day and an age where we have many professionals in many of these different areas that provide this type of expertise. But not everybody can afford that expertise, Father. And sometimes people just need a baby step. You know, we need a baby step. And so, Lord, help our church. Help us to provide healing ministries that help people to take baby steps. And sometimes, Lord, the baby steps all people need. And Lord, I would pray for anybody in this space as well that has some healing work to do and has kind of been hiding from it. Father, would You help them to learn to trust and to have a conversation so that a year from today, they can be in a much different place. Jesus, we know through Your power, You will help them do that, and You will help the church help them do that. Be with us in Your healing ministry to the world, Lord. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.